Welcome to the Elevate the Edge podcast. I'm Maribel Lopez of Lopez Research, and I'm joined with my co-host Joe Peterson of Clarify 360. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. Elevate the Edge is published bi-weekly. The podcast focuses on helping companies understand what edge computing is, how the market will evolve, and what you need to know to build successful edge computing strategies. Show notes and subscription links can be found at elevatetheedge.com/episodes. We hope you'll enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome back to the Elevate the Edge podcast. I am Maribel Lopez, and I am joined here today with my fabulous co-host, Joe Peterson. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Maribel.
And we are joined here by another great guest who also has cool glasses that rival Joe's. If you know anything about this podcast, you will know that even though you can't see her, she always shows up with cool glasses. And now we have Faye Ojemadi from Mimic. She is the CEO and founder of Mimic Technology, and she's joining us here today also with cool glasses. Welcome to the program, Faye. We're very excited to talk to you today.
Hello, and great to be in the community of cool glasses team.
There you go. Today's topic is centered loosely around the hybrid edge cloud. So I'm going to toss it over to Joe for the first question.
Thanks, Maribel. So Faye, let me dig right in. Our listeners have certainly heard of cloud, and they've certainly heard of edge. But give us your definition of hybrid edge cloud.
Sure. So hybrid edge means that edge and cloud will coexist. And edge, from our point of view, starts with where the data source is, which a majority of time nowadays, the data source is on your mobile device, in your car, in the sensor. So the ability to turn an endpoint device where the data source starts from, turn it into a cloud server, give it the ability of having a cloud server capability. Therefore, we say mimicking the cloud to the edge, to working in collaboration with other cloud nodes, which can be private on-premise cloud. It can be multi-cloud from public cloud. So that's what to us hybrid edge cloud is. And if you think about it, cloud computing has become an integral part of our digital world, right? This is the platform where we innovate, develop, transact, deploy, and basically that's the platform that has been used in mobile internet. All the back end of mobile internet applications are hosted in cloud. But we are basically moving from mobile internet to hyperconnected world. Hyperconnected world means digital is integral part of every physical aspect of our lives. So digital is around us, sensor, refrigerator, TV, everything is connected, a robot, everything is connected. So it's an integral part of the physical world. And that's why, in order to create a sustainable ecosystem, in order to be able to scale in a sustainable manner and continue innovating and continue developing and deploying, you need the ability to bring edge to the game. And edge starts with where the data source is. And that's what Mimic has created, a hybrid edge cloud.
Okay, so there's a lot going on there. And what's really interesting is that, you know, we keep evolving the cloud. You know, first we had public cloud, then we had private cloud, then we had hybrid cloud, then we had edge, like IoT and edge computing. And so now we're looking at hybrid edge cloud. And one of the things I think is always good to help the audience with is to provide a bit of a framework. If we say hybrid edge cloud, what are some of the use cases you envision being supported by a hybrid edge cloud?
So it can be, it can be any type of application. Now, Amazon Web Services was announced in 2006. And the first application of Amazon services was online bookstore, e-commerce. So naturally, the internet started with e-commerce. And then mobile internet applications started. Mobile apps such as Facebook, social media, content consumption started from there. 2 years after Amazon Web Services was announced, as I was working with my other company, I realized that the traffic patterns are changing. So I said cloud is not going to scale on its own. Traffic pattern means that, hey, the data gets generated on the device side. So it's no longer about a mobile connect to consume. It's about a device that has compute, memory, CPU connectivity, generates data. The application on these devices generate data. So you need the ability to translate raw data to knowledge as soon as possible. And that knowledge, now the question is that knowledge need to be used by the same device, on the same application, on the same device? Is that knowledge need to be transferred to another entity? A solar panel and your thermostat are two type of devices that they may need each other's information in order to drive to an action. A robot arm in a manufacturing need to have information from a conveyor belt in order to decide, you know, what is the next action I need to do. A camera that is monitoring an event that can now receive train the data AI in cloud, but push the model to camera directly so that the camera can detect based on the event that is in model in order to call a law enforcement or call another camera and say, follow this intruder. So in those contexts, it can be anywhere from the health and wellness application that you use today, where today it's developed monolith client front-end application with server being in the cloud, that now with Mimic, you can either bring the back-end microservice and host it on the same device or decompose the front-end application into microservice architecture with RESTful API. Now, when you bring the backend capability and put it on the same device where the client application demand is, you're reducing your cost of cloud. Some of our customers experience up to 90% of cost saving. You bring latency of communication down, which means that you increase the energy efficiency of your mobile device and you bring faster time and experience for your end users. Now we know, and there is it's actually people think otherwise when you say I save energy because the battery power to send data over RF is more than the battery consumption of processing the data on the same device. So you have better energy efficiency, and then faster time to response because your customer doesn't need to wait for traffic to go over wireless link to the backhaul to the internet. It's already on the same device. And again, we're not saying either or. There are certain functions that need to be stay in the public or global function, but there are certain functions that you can bring to the device. So that's on the direct consumer, like today's every, think of every application that you use today that can now transform into a hybrid edge cloud native. All the way to more sophisticated applications such as autonomous vehicle. You can't think about autonomy and yet consider cloud being fixed position. An autonomous call that by itself are 10, 20 domain controllers are on it, which are computing nodes. A LiDAR at the corner of the front corner of the car has as much compute as a Raspberry Pi. Right. And then you have different domain controllers in the car. These when you think about software running on these pieces and this knowledge from each node need to communicate with each other inside the car or with the cars around us to report them about traffic or to avoid collision. Or if there are functions that need more computing that you can now deploy that dynamically. on an infrastructure that can be a base station, that can be a telecom tower, or that can be a regional data center closer to the car. So think of it as, if we're thinking about autonomous, our cloud need to move with that autonomy as well, right? So anywhere from everyday application to a more sophisticated application.
Faye, let me ask you a question about that, because one of the things that we think about at the edge is how much processing power there is at the edge. And how do I, you know, obviously with a car, it's a highly sophisticated item, right? Mm-hmm. Even though it's an edge item, it's highly sophisticated. Smartphone, you know, have really amazing processors right now. If it is maybe an older device that doesn't have that, is it still relevant? How do we think about that?
If the device doesn't have the enough power, then again, one thing that Mimic promoting is a standard microservice with RESTful API driven architecture. And we're saying that you need to be able to run that on any compute. Mm-hmm. If you don't have compute on that device, your microservice runs on the public cloud or on another edge cloud, right? On another regional data center. It's not about either or. It's about the AND gate. It's about, you know, think about Wi-Fi and cellular and Ethernet, right? They're all three type of connectivity. You're only smart if you utilize them all in a seamless fashion, right? You can't say, oh, no, I just want to use cellular, or, oh, no, I just want to use Wi-Fi, or, oh, no, I just want to use Ethernet. You have to be able to utilize all connectivity. The same way you have to be able to utilize any computing device. But what we have done is that we created a standard platform from the view of microservice-driven architecture and RESTful API, which becomes very important, because if you think about internet kind of got standardized in a standard handshake with HTTP, right? HTTP became the, hey, don't worry about how my system works. Just send me an HTTP request. I respond to you. What we think is the next generation of handshake is going to be RESTful API, where every service is going to expose its ability. And then with RESTful API, they can interoperable with each other. Because if you think about a hyper-connected world, the most important thing is that how these systems going to communicate with each other in a timely and seamless way. And that's what RESTful API everywhere helps. Because everybody can pretty much communicate with each other. Think of it as today, given you even a smaller, simpler example. If you have two applications on the same device, in order for those two applications to share data with each other, they need to leave the device, go to the back end of each other, tell the back end to communicate with each other to get a piece of data back to the same device. Why can't these two applications on the same device just share their own data with each other via a RESTful API based, which is the cloud native approach? And that's the power of Edge, which also brings huge data privacy element to it. That it supports data privacy because your data doesn't need to leave your device constantly. You can anonymize it on device. You can structure it on device. And then you can decide where to send it. Where to send the structured data. From device, you can send the structured data to different destinations based on the data policy, right? So these are all basically the important elements of hybrid edge cloud computing.
It's fascinating, and it's really just another way to think about things, right? But, you know, cloud's as much about technology as it is about culture. Mm-hmm. And some companies are just now embracing cloud, and they might be hesitant to make another big change. What would you say to convince them to shift to hybrid edge cloud?
They have to look at how they fall behind the market by adopting cloud so late. And as a result, instead of trying to run to defend themselves on a technology that already evolving to hybrid edge, so they need to adopt the next evolution. And that gives them differentiation compared to others. I mean, look at who are the winners in the mobile internet era. The winners of mobile internet era are those who developed and paid a lot of care and attention to their product development and delivery methodology with cloud native architecture. RESTful API, microservices, deployment versus DevOps versus IT and all those things. They are the winners of mobile internet era. And as being a winners, a lot of incumbents fell behind. And now those enterprises who fell behind, they want to just start the cloud native, where cloud native itself is moving to edge and to hybrid edge. So this is their opportunity to actually evolve their business and leapfrog to the next generation versus trying to defend and build something that they already missed out the opportunity on. So we always say, we reimagine the cloud so that you can reimagine your business and create an iterative, sustainable model about your future of business. Because business is not going to stay in one level. One thing we know, again, about if you look at the winners of mobile internet era, they start in one place, but they expanded beyond that place. Amazon was a web services, infrastructure and service provider. Then they evolved that business to become a platform as a service provider. Then they built it up and they became software as a service business provider. And then they even evolved a bit higher and they became app company as well, or solution company like Alexa or other things. So if you provide proper attention to your solution architecture and be able to choose the right architecture pattern and right tools that allow you to iterate your business and meet the ever-evolving business demand. And remember, there are a lot of things that we don't know what we don't know today, right? This the famous saying of, we're in software, we're in technology. We know that you develop a software with minimum viable feature. And then once you go to market, you say, oops, now I need to integrate with this. Oops, would be good if I add this feature to it. Oops, it would be good if I can expand in that area as well, right? Now, when you have the hybrid edge cloud platform, it gives you a full flexibility to choose your tools and to expand beyond what you see today in a much more iterative way and de-risk way. Because, and again, with Mimic, what we have done, we call ourselves the Geneva of technology, because we don't have anything to defend and keep. Like, I'm not a cloud provider, device vendor, network provider, or OS vendor. I'm a developer, and my team are developers. What we want is a platform that allow me to choose from, oh, this public provider versus this private entity provider. I want to be able to utilize my Kubernetes cluster in cloud, but have something similar to that on the edge. I want to be able to use my Docker in cloud, but still the edge gives me the container ability as well. So that's what we call a kind of a iterative approach to your digital transformation that is lower risk and increases your chance of success.
So you've covered quite a bit of ground, and some of what I wanted to ask, I think you already covered. But you know, you did talk about a number of different use cases and industries, and I'm wondering if there's a specific set of industries you think will adopt first. And then the second thing is, you know, we were just talking about this iterative approach, and I'm always curious as to like how people should get started. And it's always a little bit different depending on where you are. But is there a common complaint or pushback that you get that you'd like to sort of rebut at this point? People are like, I can't do this because of blah. Like, what would you say to them? Is there...
With respect to the common, with respect to which market, we are hyper engaged across every market, but telecom, fintech, healthcare, and the telecom, fintech, healthcare, and automotive. we have active customer engagement on all of those fronts. But IoT, and by the way, one thing that is going to transform is that we're going to move away from app economy to system knowledge economy. You see, vertical applications don't make sense anymore in the era that we're going. I was driving down Bay Area, and I noticed that my car has 0 cents that I'm on HOV lane. And HOV lane exit and entrance to HOV lane is very confusing. And I was thinking, I have a navigation system in my car, and I have an HOV type, those fast track dongle. And every time I pass under the fast track antenna, it calculates how many people it's in my car. Why can't this antenna also send me the information on where is the exit path or where is the entrance path so that I decide where to exit the lane, you know? Or why can't this just give the knowledge to my navigation system that, hey, you are in HOV lane, right? Simple, nothing sophisticated. Don't recognize the line. It's just that the signal is coming, but that signal should also be easily passed to my car navigation system. That is what I mean by the world of app economy is going away. Because if you think about that simple transaction requires 3 apps to launch that they can talk to each other, it's nonsense. That's why the service and macro service or notion of function as a service is gonna be something that we're going to see more and more. But what we're seeing in our engagement is everywhere in terms of from IoT to camera as a service, which goes in the car, which goes on the port authority automation, which goes into retail automation. So again, camera as a service, right? So you can't say that it's vertical application X versus vertical application Y. Camera as a service is also going to home. It goes to property surveillance. It goes to CCTV camera. It's all the same. Push the model to the camera, let the model in the camera observe what is happening, and then give the camera ability that the moment you observe the event based on the model, inform the law enforcement, inform the homeowner, inform the care provider, inform, it becomes information exchange, knowledge exchange, local processing on device, send an event or send a request to the person that is responsible for receiving that based on the business logic, based on which domain you're in. And a lot of time what we're going to experience is this notion of cross-domain communication. If you are in the healthcare domain and somebody asks you, what is your financial situation? They're asking you because they want to say whether they're asking me whether my depression caused by my financial situation. But if I am in the financial domain and somebody's asking me about my healthcare, is because they want to know whether I am risky for getting mortgage or not. Cross-domain knowledge exchange. So these are the things that we are seeing. The biggest challenge is that the market is used to buying an off-the-shelf application. Right? But today, there is no off-the-shelf application. When you think about digital transformation, it's about rethinking, reimagining my business, reimagining my role in the future of digital world, designing system architecture, system design, and then deciding on where the microservice resides, what APIs those set of microservices are required. And almost it requires a digital transformation, one microservice at a time, I call it. So the challenge is that education. You know, you talk to a lot of people and the first thing they say, oh, you do what Kubernetes does, oh, you do what Docker does, oh, you do what Google Istio does. And none of them are true. And majority of the time, people don't exactly understand what Kubernetes, Docker, or Istio does. And that's that there's magic bundle that was created that people are using it. What we see ourselves in the position to help the customer decide and rethink and reimagine their business. And a lot of time, and the way we operate is that we don't force fit mimic to everything. In fact, we go and we say, for this, use Kubernetes. For that function, use the public cloud. For this function, use Edge. right? So the customer and the market, I mean, think about it, what Gartner said, that only 20% of industries have gone through their cloud journey. 80% are just starting. Some people talk about legacy system. How do I manage my legacy system? The reality is that only 20% of market has a legacy system. And even Edge can help there. Why? Because imagine a microservice on your device that can receive data from old system, structure it on device, and pass it to the new system. Or an microservice on device that can now, based on the traffic that it sees, it can decide which public or private cloud to send it to. So the market is in education phase, and that's just the fact. That's just the state of the market.
Well, Faye, that you gave us so much good information there. Thank you so much. We like to end our podcast with one fun fact. So what is your fun fact for today?
So the word muscle comes from Latin word, which means little mouse. So when you say the musculus in Latin, I think, Latin language, if I pronounce it correctly, which I'm sure I didn't, means little mouse.
That's nice. Awesome. I love it. I just had like little Popeye visions and other things coming up with the little muscles. But at any rate, Faye, thank you so much for your time. This has been Elevate the Edge. We look forward to having you back soon.
Thank you, Faye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe so you can easily find us again. Follow us on Twitter at Maribel Lopez and at Digital Cloud Gal, and on LinkedIn. Links to our social profiles, show notes, and ways to listen to the podcast can be found at ElevateTheEdge.com.